60 days of wonder in 2024. You know, David wrote Psalm 34 when he was going through probably one of the most difficult times of his life. I've called this message Taste and See. I actually love this sermon, it could go badly. I love this word because Gracie actually gave me Psalm 34, verses 8 to 11. She wrote it on a piece of paper. She drew some pictures and she stuck it up on my bedroom wall. And so every morning when I wake up, that's what I see. I see the Word of God up there and I look at it and I go, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, start each day with the Word of God. You know, this was a time, he wrote Psalm 34, David was running away. Who's ever running away from something? He was running away from King Saul. He was a mighty warrior, David, but he was under threat, right? King Saul was very jealous of David. David was an accomplished warrior. He was an accomplished soldier. He, you know, had all the things going for him, and King Saul had so much jealousy towards him that he wanted to kill him. King Saul was actually also David's father-in-law and also David's best friend's father. Well, there's a lot going on there, isn't there? And so what happened is he fled Israel at this time when he was under assault. It's from 1 Samuel 19, if you want to, you know, around about there, if you want to read it when you get home. And I'm not talking about 1 Samuel 19, I'm talking about Psalm 34. I'm just giving you some context, okay? But for those of you that want to go and research it, read 1 Samuel and you'll find out the story. But basically, David decided to leave Israel because he was under a lot of discomfort. Who wants their life in danger? Just like the voice of the Mars. We have it pretty good, don't we? We don't sit in our white paneled wall homes and think about danger, do we? Today I want to give you a bit of a challenge, a bit of a push, a bit of a wake up. What's going to bring us to the point where we taste and see? That's really what I'm pushing for today. How are we going to taste and see that the Lord is good? Here David is pushed into a very difficult circumstance where his life is hanging in the balance. Potentially his best mate's dad, his wife's dad, is going to kill him. And he's got to get out of there. So he goes into enemy territory to find safety. Who's done that before? Yeah, he's gone into enemy. I've been to New South Wales before. I've been into enemy territory. My life was in danger there. But, you know, we know what it feels like when we're running. All of us have been running at some point, probably. But this particular time, things worked out particularly badly for David. He ends up being under threat of death from the Philistines, which is where he moved to. And when he was finally able to escape, he actually acted like he was insane. That's how he managed to escape. He acted like he was insane. Okay. No, I want you to just to be with me. Yeah, I like a little bit of interaction. Can you give it to me? Yeah. Because I actually this morning I thought, you know, I don't want to do this today. I just want to be at home in the rain with a cup of hot chocolate. You know, I want to invite you all to my lounge room today, okay? So I just like us to do this together. Is that okay? So he basically at the end of surviving this, he is so thankful. This is what it is to taste and see that the Lord is good, okay? And, you know, we as we read this today, think of your life in the context of, you know, we're not under threat, like I've already said, but what's going on in your life that you cannot taste and see that the Lord is good? I don't know if you struggle with, you know, mental health. I don't know if you've got sickness or financial troubles or you have estrangement in your family or something like that, but I'm asking you, listen to David here. David actually was a prophet. He was a prophet. He's really speaking prophetically to us. This was written a long time ago. So I want you to, do you foster fear or do you foster faith? That's what I'm asking today. Do you believe for the impossible or do you think that it's impossible? I'm asking you to think about those things as we listen to what David has to share with us. Have we become blind? Do we need to see with fresh eyes? Have we become deaf that we can't hear the Lord and all that he's doing? Are our hearts so calloused with unforgiveness that we're so full of bitterness that we can't taste the good honey of the Holy Spirit? So I'm unsure of what all of you, your personal challenges, but think that today this great God, this good God, this faithful God is going to be with you. And today my prayer is you would taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, open up your book or look at the screen. The Bible, best book in the world. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Okay, so Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Not just on Sundays, not three times a week, not just when I feel like it. I will bless the Lord always, all the time. His praise shall continually, not sporadically, be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. You know, a lot of us boast, don't we? I mean, I boast about my kids. I boast about just what wonderful students they know Matt Prater. You know, what an honor. And people say, you're Matt Prater's wife. And I go, yeah, my name's Carol. But a lot of us tend to boast. And many, I meet somebody and all I get out of them first is all the information they want to give me. Instead of like, hi, I'm Carol, what's your name? The people want to give me stuff. You know, it's like boasting in all my knowledge, boasting in all my resources, you know, boasting in my talents or whatever. But God is interested in who you are, not what you know. He's interested in who you are, the person inside there. And David said, I will boast in one thing, and that is the Lord. He says, the humble will hear it and rejoice. Well, sometimes you just got to wait. The humble will hear it. So I wonder what the proud would do. So, you know, proud people understand this concept, I think, of boasting in the Lord because proud people boast, don't they? Proud people boast in themselves or, you know, maybe they don't consider how God's the one who's influenced everything. God's the one that breathed life into them. Everything that they have is from the Lord. Their intelligence, their gifts, every single thing is from the Lord. And, you know, those that boast, they need to boast in the Lord. But you know what? That's what we need to remember today. Carol would not exist if God didn't breathe life into me. He didn't think of me before I came into my mother's womb. He made me. He created me. He created all of you, and he has a plan and a purpose for you. He gave you a job. He gave you intelligence. Everything you have is from God. If you don't know that, go and read the Bible. This psalmist David knew something, didn't he? The humble will hear and understand. And I'm conveying it in this song, he says. I'm conveying it in this song because he's written this song. But he said, you think that, you know, maybe that this is some journal entry that David wrote and was somehow given to us by God and we're thankful for it. But this is not a personal journal. David had in mind for readers to read it and for hearers to hear it. And he says later on, listen, children. He wants us to join him in blessing and praising and boasting God for the rest of our days. Exalt the Lord with me, he says, and let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. God wants to give you a heart transplant today. He wants to give you a mind transplant. My God is able to do all things. They looked to him and they were radiant. Look at you're all radiant. You're here. You didn't stay home with the hot chocolate and the movie. You came because you want to worship the Lord. You will never be ashamed. The faces will never be ashamed to honor him, is the added bit. This wretched man, David, he's talking, cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. You know, David knew what it was to be rescued. I know what it is to be rescued. I've been rescued so many times by the Lord. But what are some ways that we can learn from what David learnt here? You know, one thing that God gave David that helped him was a good friend. You know, someone with wise counsel. I'd encourage you all to make good friends. Spiritual friends, friends that will protect you, friends that have your back. I say this to my best friends, I've always got your back, no matter what, I've got your back. I don't talk about them behind their back. I don't tell them, you know, you can't do this. I say, you know what, I believe in you and I've got your back. And David had Jonathan and he was his best friend. And believers should be really wise in selecting our friends. You know, Matt's been doing this series on Relate, and this really fits with it, all of these little points here. Friends that are able to counsel us from the Word of God. Proverbs says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Who's seen that? Who's seen people get snatched away? The other way that Jonathan protected David was he stood in the gap for him. You know, we need to stand in the gap for our friends, pray for them, intercede for them. Intercession is standing in the gap. It's saying, I'm going to, you know, believe God for the impossible. I'm going to believe God for the impossible. I think it's because I yell that I get a crunchy throat. But I just get so excited. That's why David's one of my favorites. He would have been up here dancing around. You know, for the joy of the Lord was his strength, you know. Let us be people filled of joy, of gladness. So make friends that will intercede for you. What was another thing that God gave David? He gave him a good wife. If you find a good wife, you find a good thing. You know, David, he had a far from perfect relationship with his wife. But in this story, she protects him wonderfully. You know, she does, in Samuel 19, Saul's coming after him. She has helped David escape out a window. And she's put an idol in his bed. She's put some goat's hair on it so it looks like he's sick. And the soldiers come in with King Saul and he's not there. She protected him. She tried to divert them away. She tried to divert harm from him. That's a good wife. She helped David escape. She even made excuses for him. And I think that, you know, when good men will allow their wives to help them become better men, and good women will allow their husbands, oh, well, you know, where am I going? Whatever. You with me? Thank you, Karen. So good men will allow their wives to help them become better men, and good women will allow their men. Oh, anyway, I'm really confused. Okay, you get the general thing. Okay, the next thing, number three, is that David had a good mentor in Samuel, the prophet. Samuel was a priest of Israel. Samuel would provide spiritual counsel and advice. The first person that David ran to was Samuel. And, you know, it's good as a Christian to have spiritual leaders in our lives who will willingly tell us difficult things. Who likes to be told difficult things? Yeah, I actually do. I encourage people in my life. If you're a friend of mine, I say, tell me when my behavior is unbecoming. And I actually think that's healthy. As Christian brothers and sisters, do we want to be accountable? I'm asking you. If you don't want to be accountable, I think there's a problem, a big problem. And maybe some of those walls need to come down. Because we've got to be able to speak honestly and lovingly to one another. My friends aren't being cruel to me. They're just telling me the truth. In the same way that I will tell them the truth. Saying that, you know, I used to get so angry when people would stare at Josh in supermarkets. You know, because Joshy has cerebral palsy. For those of you that don't know, he walks with a limp, you know, and so he sometimes has an orthotic on his foot. And, you know, people, you know, they do this, don't they? I don't know. They go like that. Yeah. And I just, the lioness in me, yeah, would rise up. And so I'd look at them like that. And sometimes I'd even say something unbecoming of a princess, you know. And I actually, even talking about it now, anger rises up in me, right? But you know what? My husband spoke life to me. He said, honey, you're just hurting your soul to do that. Anger was building in me, you know. I was going to go and deck those people, you know. Look at something else. Look at yourself, you know. Like I was a bit out of control, you know. Do you understand the protective nature? But it wasn't being protective, actually. Joshy says to me sometimes, Mum, are people always going to look at me? I said, yeah, you know. You know what it is, honey? I said, they know that you're Spider-Man and they just want to be Spider-Man. You know, you got to turn things around. Can't we get so offended? Still, I don't like those people staring, okay? But you know what? They can't help it. Matt said to me, honey, they're always going to stare. How are you going to stop people from doing it? And I go, yeah, I suppose it's like I'm trying to win a war with a million people that I'm never going to win. I've won the war in my heart, yeah? I just go, you know what? Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. And what's the fourth thing? The supernatural. The Spirit of God, you know, and I just wish that I could really go deep, deep, deep into this, but I don't have time because I'm trying to get to the taste and see part. But in 1 Samuel 19, the Holy Spirit came in power in a situation just to rescue David again. And then all these prophets rose up and all these people were speaking prophetically, and Saul was like, whoa, you know, what's going on? Saul ended up speaking prophetically. He was so messed up in his mind. God used the Spirit of God on man to confuse Saul. So God intercedes, doesn't he? The Spirit of God intercedes for us. And so it's the supernatural. When we cry out to God for his protection, you know, we've got to be open to the idea that we are spiritual men and women, and God may provide and protect us in supernatural ways that we cannot see. You know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And so it should come as no surprise that when we look to God's unseen protection in that supernatural realm. So they're the four things. And to, you know, to David, all of this was from God. That he lived in that mindset. God wants to say to you today, allow people he has placed in your lives protect you. All those people protected him. Okay, this is the best part. All right. It's not the best. Oh, geez, I can wobble on from him. All right, let's look at verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no lack of anything. Should I say that again? To those who fear him, there is no lack of anything. Do you want to keep repeating it? You get it. There is no lack of anything for those that fear him. The young lions do without and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Any good thing. What an invitation. What an invitation David is inviting us to taste and see. He's using experiential language to describe the relationship to him, and he wants of God's relationship to him, and he wants you to experience the same. That's why he says, you taste and see. He doesn't say, study and memorize that the Lord is good. He doesn't say, oh, do quizzes and tests and realize that God is good. No, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See that the Lord is good. He parallels the physical senses and he translates it into a possibility where all of us can know God in a tangible way. I know God in a tangible way. I could sing of his praises in my life forever and ever and ever. From even before I was saved, I could sing of his presence, of his tangible fullness in my life. You know, I don't know what happened at your school camps, but at our school camps, they used to do some strange things and they'd blindfold us. And then they'd make you taste things. You had to smell it and then you had to taste it. And do you know what? Oranges smell so good. And you smell an orange and you know it's an orange. And then you taste it. It tastes like an orange. But you know sugar? It smells bad. Go home. It's an experiment. You go and smell sugar. It smells bad. That's my lesson for today. Don't eat sugar. But when you taste it, it tastes good, doesn't it? But it stinks to smell it. I found that out on school camp. But did anyone ever do that with youth? Yeah, it's a great thing to do with youth. You can put oysters, you know. what David's doing here in saying taste and see is not, he's not just saying just through the senses though. He's saying there's something even more, a spiritual sense. He's appealing to experience. He's appealing to knowledge that is feelable to a certain extent. Because hear me very carefully. There are a lot of things, you know, we're called to teach, we're called to study, we're called to proclaim, we're called to use reason and logic and declare it to the masses to come to the knowledge of truth, yeah? We're actually saved in some way, somewhat, by knowledge and understanding of a certain truth, you know, that Jesus is our, you know. But there are certain things about God that cannot be explained, that they're to be experienced. He doesn't actually want to be explained sometimes, because then man can take some glory for it. He wants all the glory, yeah? But what happened is one of my historical mentors is a man named John Wimber. John Wimber founded the Vineyard Churches. He is one of the forefathers of the charismatic movement. And John Wimber was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. He also was the manager of the Righteous Brothers. And he came to Christ. And he wanted so much to see, when he came to Christ, the manifestation of... Can I just have that? Is that yours? No. He said, this stuff in here... When are we going to get to do the stuff in here that Jesus did? He said, you know, he raised the dead. We sang about it. He made the blind to see. He the deaf could hear. The lame could walk. And he'd say to his little Bible study, when are we going to do the stuff Jesus did? And they said, well, John, you know, that was for then. This isn't for now. But he said, no, it's in the book. Didn't he write this thing? If it's in the book, then when are we going to do it? So he went through a period where he was a pastor. Then he went through a bad struggle there. Don't we know it? No, it's all good. It's all good. But he went through a bad struggle. you know what? God sends us through trials and tribulations to grow us so that we can taste and see. I want to acknowledge that. You know, I've tasted God more in the valley than I ever have on the mountaintop. So he takes us to the valley because he wants to show us how good he is in every circumstance, in every situation. So John Wimber, he started a church, then he went to Fuller Theological College, then he came back to being a pastor. And when he came back to being a pastor, he was really challenged by God about healing. And he said, Lord, I want to do it, but nobody does it. Nobody does altar calls or anything like that. He said, I want to do it, but nobody doesn't. He says, John, do what I'm telling you. So he started having altar calls. He said, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And he was frustrated because the Lord kept saying, do it. Do what I'm telling you to do. And he was like, okay. So he had people leaving the church. He had people writing him long letters, complaining, you know, telling him, you're doing this all wrong. Oh, he's like, okay. So he kept going with it. And then he said, oh, Lord, I really don't think I should be doing this. You know, it's just not working. Shouldn't I be seeing something? You know, sometimes we don't. You know, we're tested. So he said, okay, well, Lord, okay. So what happened? Where am I up to? So he got to the point where he said, okay, well, I'm just going to keep doing it. And after about a year and a half or something, this moment happened, okay? And this story came back to me. This moment happened. I remember this testimony, and it's one of my favorites. So he says, what happened is this guy rings him up. John, you got to get over to my house ASAP because my wife's really sick. She's in the bed. She's so sick she can't get out of the bed. And I start a new job today and I'm desperate because I have to get to my new job. But she's super sick. She can't get out of bed. She can't look after the kids. And I need a miracle. And he's like, I'll be there in a minute. He had no faith. Honestly, he had no faith. He's driving there saying, God, 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 do something, do something. You've got to do something. I'm begging you. I'm pleading. I'm like, you have to get this lady up out of the bed, okay? But he did not believe it would happen. He gets there. He walks in. She's in her room. She's in the bed. And he thought, oh, well, she's really sick because no woman would ever let you go into a bedroom and see her like that. He said, she's so sick. And he goes over there timidly and he goes, he said something. I don't even remember what I said. It wasn't anything much. And then he gets up. He starts talking to the husband. He goes, look, I don't expect that she'll get up. You know, like he's sort of basically. And then the husband, who was a little bit taller than him, is looking over and it's like looking at his wife and she's up out of the bed. She's got a dressing gown on. She's made the bed. And he goes, whoa, what happened to you? She goes, I'm well. I'm well. And he goes, yeah, I don't even believe it. How did that happen? How did that happen? He sort of gets in the car and he's so excited. And he goes, yeah, Lord, we got one. And he's driving along and he sees a vision. He's driving through the valley in California there and he sees a vision before him. And the vision looks like clouds. And there's all these people standing there with different postures. A bit like in this room today. There's some people that are like with their hands stretched out. And the honey's dripping down. He looked closer and he realized it was honeycomb and honey was dripping down. So he pulled the car over so he could see better. And he says, Lord, what is that? Like, he says, firstly, he said the people were crying, travailing, you know, their hands out. People were dipping their fingers in other people's honey to taste and see how good it was. And other people were so offended at it. They're trying to get it off them, like trying to flick it, you know, He said, Lord, what is that? He said, John, that's my mercy. It's for everyone. And there's plenty of it. There's so much of it, you could swim in it. The difference is some people want it, some people don't want it. He said, look, John, never beg me for healing again. The problem is not on my end. That just gives me goosebumps. The Lord said to him, John, I've seen your ministry. Now I'm going to show you mine. You know what? He had so many prophetic words given to him before healing broke out. One lady came up to him and she said to him, and I'm asking you today, she said, when are you going to walk in your authority? And the Lord's, and John says back to her, well, what does that mean? And she said, I'm just the messenger. I don't know what the rest is. But I want to say that to prophetic people too. Don't say more than what the Lord's saying. The Lord just told those people that thing. That's what they brought forth. Don't add to what the Lord is saying. But it's time for us to walk in our authority. It's time to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so, you know what? It intensified. And, of course, now we know, those that remember, that the Vineyard Church was, you know, a mighty powerhouse for healing, evangelism, power evangelism, you know, deliverance. So it's just such a beautiful story. And you know, I think that Jesus has come. We have Jesus. David was speaking prophetically. Then he was saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord hadn't come yet. You know, we live in this tension, don't we, between the kingdom coming and the kingdom not yet. I don't like that tension. I just want to have the kingdom come, you know, constantly. And I want people to get healed instantly. I want chains to fall off right now. I don't want to wait. But the thing is that there is a tension. And the Lord would say to us, there is a way to appropriate these things. And he wants us to find the keys. And that is to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, the memory of that story really sparks me because I've been having all these encounters with bees lately. And I'm actually going to do a series on bees and honey from the Bible. It's not today, but because there's so many illustrations and parallels that we can find in the Word of God for these. But let's get back to David. Here at this point, when he wrote Psalm 34, and he offers us this invitation to taste and see, he's reached the ceiling. He's reached the pinnacle. Who's ever felt like that? You think, yeah, this is it, we've arrived. There's moments that you've all maybe had that feeling. But, you know, he's come to a place where it went beyond the quarters of his mind, yeah, where it went beyond stuffing information in his head. Like, I have seen people delivered. Me, I have prayed for people to be delivered. It wasn't me. You get what I mean? It's beyond me. It's not information. It's like that experience happened. I've seen people healed. And I've seen people not healed. But I've experienced something. And he's saying here, stop stuffing information in your head. He went to a realm of experience. And he's inviting us to do the same. He's saying, you've got to listen. You've got to experience him for yourself. You can't get third-hand revelation. You know, I can talk up here about my experiences. Pastor Vince or Chris or Matt or someone else can talk about their experience. But God, David is saying here, I'm inviting you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good for you. The goodness, the faithfulness of the Lord is available for all. And he's saying, come. You know, I can tell the difference between someone that's just studied God and then someone that's experienced God. You know, Pastor Oscar's experienced God. That's why he's a crazy evangelist. You know, he's experienced God, and nothing is going to stop him from going out and bringing people to a knowledge of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Because he doesn't keep it for himself. He doesn't keep the honey and say, oh, my honey. He says, this honey tastes so good, I'm sharing it with everyone. Everyone has to know and taste and see that the Lord is good. That is the job of God's people. We're bees. Go and share the honey. You know, there's a big difference between those who have tasted and those who haven't. And I just want you all to taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, and you know, it affects the deepest faculties of us, doesn't it? Oh, it really does. You become abandoned to him. You know, it's like you might say, well, Carol, I hear what you're saying, but what do I do? You know, you don't have to go out to the wilderness. You don't. You know, you don't have to go up to the mountaintop. Just start sharing the gospel. Just start praying for people. Just start supporting ministries. Like, do something and you'll experience him. It's like, you know what? You can't do anything more for God. You know, all we're going to get, those of us that call on the name of the Lord, those that have been saved and delivered and healed, when we stand before the Lord, he's not going to go through a list of what we should have. He's going to say, Cecily, come in and welcome to your reward. That's who he is. Rissa, come in and welcome to your reward. He's not going to go through a list of what's wrong with you. He's going to say to you, come and let me show you your reward. Do you get it? He says, taste and see. If you taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll be like him. I'm actually not going to read through all of this, but oh, actually, maybe I should. So you might say, all right, I want to taste and see. David really tells us at the end here. He says, how do you taste and see that the Lord is good? The most important key is fear the Lord. And that's a whole nother sermon. But here, he says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the person who desires life? And will do it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and he will eliminate the memory of them from the earth. Whoa. Don't be an evildoer, yeah? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord rescues him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil will bring death to the wicked, but those who hate the righteous will suffer for their guilt. You know, the Lord deals with things. We don't have to get angry at the people that stare or that hurt us. We can let the Lord deal with it. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of them who take refuge in him will suffer for their guilt. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's the key here to tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. The fear of the Lord moves upon our hearts. It impacts our lives in such a way that we are stable, that we are not tossed around. The fear of the Lord gives us an anchor. And, you know, fear is not like, whoa, I'm terrified. One person. I cannot heal one person. That is the fear of the Lord. God can heal all, deliver all, save all. I ask you today, my call to your hearts, the Lord would say, have you tasted and seen that I am good? Have you experienced my passion? You know what? How do you get the fear of the Lord? You do all those things that David just said there. But if you don't want the fear of the Lord, go ahead and do the opposite. The taste and see isn't for you. Do we get out of trouble? No. That's not the promise. Many are the afflictions, Jesus said, but what is the promise? Take heart. I've overcome the world. And I ask this today to a church that I love. Have we become gospel-hardened people? Yeah. Have we become hardened to the Word of God? To the power of the Word of God? To the miraculous King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We're so comfortable, aren't we? We're so comfortable. David was not comfortable. He was a warrior. I feel like the Lord would say to you, you know what? You have so much honey. You have so much honey that you're overflowing. It's actually bogging you down. You're not meant to keep it. You're meant to... I'd get stuck if I had that much honey. Imagine just being coated in honey and just like sitting there. Wow. We're stuffed with knowledge, but we lack experience. Yeah? You have to walk the narrow way to taste of the goodness. It is no other way. You know, we need to be born again spiritually. You know, we become so mechanical in our faith that we can start to sell it. You know, I see churches selling the gifts of the Spirit. It grieves me so greatly. That's not what I'm going to talk about. That's for another day. But we want to receive and give freely. I didn't get anything. I didn't pay for it. He paid for it. Christina said that with the communion message. So let's pray. Father, we just love you. We believe that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. He's faithful. You are faithful. Father, I just speak to the hearts of those here. If there's anyone, Lord, whose heart is hardened, God, will you soften hearts today? Soften hearts, Lord. You know, I feel that there's people here today that have a lot of disappointment. A lot of disappointment. And I feel like the Lord would want to replace that with contentment today. He would say, you know what? I want to give you a satisfied mind, a satisfied heart. There's things that are going on in your life that are out of your control. And the Lord wants to say, let go so I can show you how I can deliver you and rescue you. He wants to replace your mourning for worship, your sorrow for joy. And I just encourage, you know, those that don't know the Lord Jesus. First thing, I want you to come to the altar today if you feel what I just said there, that there's disappointments. I feel there's brokenness that you keep holding on to. I know that the Holy Spirit's moving in your spirit right now. You feel Him in the innermost parts of you. And you're disappointed, you're discouraged. And the Lord would say, come. Just come to the altar. And they've never tasted Him. They've never said, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus, David just said in that scripture, didn't he? Said, what will happen to those that don't come to a knowledge of the Lord? We just all want to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's people that maybe you're feeling that God doesn't work, you know, doesn't work in the ways that you want. You say, Lord, I've been asking you, I've been believing for this miracle. He's saying today, come to the altar and receive. Come for a touch. He says, you know, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord meets with all of us. I just pray that if there's some struggle, I really sense discontent is the main thing the Lord wants to heal today, a sense of discouragement. You've been hoping and believing for things. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's something that seems out of your reach. You know, that the world would say that, you know, people won't be able to afford homes and things like that. You know, we have a Lord that is the provider. You know, God is a God of miracles. So I just ask you to come. The Lord says, come to the altar. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, come and sense that living water that would flow. He wants to take your dryness and fill it with His grace and mercy. So He says, come.
Just going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. And I just feel to invite people that want to give their heart to Jesus to give that opportunity right now. I was thinking about this verse as Carol was preaching. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe you're in a place where you've been tasting all sorts of other things, relationships, addictions. Maybe you're going after the right career or the right amount of money or the biggest house or this or that. You're tasting all sorts of other things, but they won't satisfy. You won't find contentment in all those things. It's like there's a void inside our heart that nothing can fill except for Jesus. Maybe you've been chasing after all these idols. Let me tell you, they won't satisfy. I want to challenge you today to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, you don't know what an apple's like until you bite into it. It could be rotten, it could be good. But I'm here to tell you, we've tasted of the Lord and we know He is good. Just with every eye closed, just while we're praying, if today you'd like to say, yes, I need Jesus. I need to taste and see that the Lord is good. I need to come to Him and have my sins forgiven. I need to start a new life following Jesus. If that's you, and if you want to pray with us today, we're going to pray in just a moment. If that's you, just lift up your hand so I can see it today. I see that. That's awesome. I see that too. That's great. Over there, I see that. That's awesome. Is there anybody else that says, yes, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good today. I want to come to know Jesus. I want to turn from my old life and start to follow Jesus. We've got three over here so far. Is there anybody else? Just put your hand up so I can see it today. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, the most important decision you can ever make. Just slip up your hand so I can see it. Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today I will taste and see that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. For those who prayed that prayer today, we want to invite you to come over and chat with Pastor Chris. We've got three Bibles there. I saw him bring three Bibles up and three people put their hand up today. Hallelujah. If you'd like to come and chat with Pastor Chris, if you put your hand up, or maybe you didn't put your hand up and you'd like to talk more about following Jesus, please come and talk to Pastor Chris. Let's stand to our feet. And I want to invite you to come forward. If today you want to come to a place where you need to taste and see that the Lord is good, you need to surrender to Him. I'm going to invite Carol to come and lay hands on you and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like Carol said before, maybe you're dry. Maybe you're in a place where you're empty and you're